League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there. League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome one and all to our, soon you will be hearing anyway, live show on Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, recorded live at the Frequency Festival that happened just this past June, as a matter of fact.
Super fun. We did that live in person. Unfortunately, nobody was allowed to be there.
Yeah.
People will be allowed to go to other things later on in the fall.
That's right.
Which is going to be super exciting. But this was super fun. Huge thanks to our buddy Chris Wade for putting that together. It had a really stacked lineup. We were really happy to be a part of that.
Yeah, and just so people know, like, the Mad Max fun doesn't stop here on Patreon, patreon.com/WeAteMovies. We have a full in-studio episode that we recorded on Mad Max, the 1979 masterpiece.
The OG masterpiece, dude. Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun time. And just so you know what you're missing on Patreon if you're not on board yet, we brought back Melro 210, the once quarantined podcast where we talk about Beverly Hills 90210 and Melrose Place. We invented Once in a Lifetime.
I'm
trying to be dramatic.
Oh, it's very dramatic. And we have a brand new episode this month.
That's right. And this is a level of our Patreon where we review Lifetime movies. And it's a newer feature. We did Stalked by My Doctor, Death of a Cheerleader, and now The Deadly Mile High Club, which is coming out this month. They're already out.
I know. My wife joined us for that one because we're both Lifetime fanatics. Really fun episode.
What are we doing on Animation Damnation this month, Steve?
We are releasing our episode on The Tales from the Crypt Keeper, the weird, long forgotten.
Yes. And that's a long edition. It's almost an hour long. We did that for the Salem Horror Festival, and patrons will get an exclusive video link that they can watch the show because it's kind of visual. Steve was having fun.
I was having a little bit of fun.
Yeah. A little fun with a little green screen.
Yeah,
and whatnot.
Sure. Yeah, not only that, we do the Nexus. It's a Star Trek recap show. You might have heard about it a few weeks back on Star Trek Wrath of Khan that we unlocked. Also, the Gleep Glossary, where I read Star Wars stories to these guys and they kind of rip it apart.
What did we do there?
What do we do there?
In August.
What are we doing
in August we did, I think it's Aura Sing, but I kept on saying Aurora Sing like it's Illinois.
Oh. I live in Aura, Illinois.
Aura Sing, Bounty Hunter from the prequel era. It was a lot of fun. Really good episode. Actually, an in-studio record on that guy. And we also do commentary tracks. We did Jackass Mentary just recently.
Oh, yeah. Got a good response to that.
We have our Snyder Sessions where we went through the Snyder Cut for about 3 hours or so.
Oh, it's a big-ass three-part, it's close to 4 hours, honestly, like the fucking movie.
We have a lot of fun on the main feed. You're missing a ton if you're not
on the page. Like, even if you're catching up on television, the Mandalorian half hour, we've done podcasts on every single episode of that show, as well as Picard.
That's right.
And for $10, you unlock all of that. And then it's less bit dependent. Not going to do the whole math of it all.
Right.
But for $10, you can get like thousands and thousands.
Plus, the Patreon archive of our first 100 or so episodes are located there.
You can listen to us. Yeah. Figure out how to do this for
exactly
a while.
And I just want to stress, some people get confused with what Patreon is. You can listen to it on a regular podcast app or their app. They'll give you an RSS feed to plug in, and you get everything we've ever done. If you pledge on a certain level, you get everything from that level. It's not like you're pledging just for the month and getting just one thing. No, you get it all.
You get everything.
That's right.
No.
And before we get too far ahead here, I just do want to hit play really quickly.
Oh, boy.
Coming soon. Yes.
Oh, it's happening.
Are you worried? Because it is the finale, the grand finale that started in September of last year of the VHS trailer game for season 11.
Unbelievable.
The world's first and only game show that revolves around arcane materials, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. It's really exciting. Because it's a close race. For some, it's a very close race.
Okay, listen.
They broke down the chances. Eric can really do it here.
No,
you have to get them all right.
I have to get every single question right today to win this. Chris is already deemed the winner, I believe, by internal documents I found.
Currently, Andrew is the winner.
Yes.
I'm saying the preordained winner. Andrew,
I see.
They've been snaking and fakery here.
The documents from Rome, yes.
But yes, right now, where does everyone stand, Game Master?
Andrew's been just Joe Biden in this. He's letting everybody else fight in the muck and just kind of standing aside. And
gotta let these snakes slither amongst themselves, man.
It is Andrew in the lead with 83 big points. Chris right behind him with 81 points.
Ooh.
Eric with 52 points, which is in striking distance.
Uh-huh.
And we do say that the guest team, led by Angelica Jade Bastien, with 5 big points.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
Oh, wait, remember, there's one more. You didn't read the last contestants.
Steven Sadek has 0
thank
points.
Thank you.
Because,
and can I say how great it's going to be that when we kick over into the season 12 VHS trailer game edition, this bit will be dead.
Oh, you think so, huh? You think, huh?
I will fucking kick you in the balls, cabin.
I'm the one driving this.
See, look at this. He's telling you to stop cheating.
So this is the VHS trailer game. We've been doing this all year long. It will likely come into season 12. We'll see. I think it's looking good. It's going to show up.
If we're selling merch for it, we got to keep doing
That's
it.
That's true. but I will, tweet at me, at Steven Sadek. It's an easy handle. It sounds exactly how it's spelled.
Exactly. It's spelled exactly how it sounds.
Or at WHM Podcast with suggestions. Like, do you want a different round? Do you want bonus stuff? Whatever you want to do.
Right.
I'm open to tinkering.
Independent fact checkers or yes. I don't know.
We get the Westinghouse Corporation involved at some point.
Any types of rules and conditions, literally anything.
But everyone's assholes are in their throats. So the way that this game goes, much like every other game, there's going to be 3 rounds here. Each round is its own unique trailer. The first clue is worth 5 points. The next clue is worth 4 points, yada, 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 all the way down to 1 point. If you guess in one of those rounds incorrectly, you are out until the next trailer round.
Knocked out.
So you want to be careful here, guys.
Don't fucking don't do what I did. I think it was the last game. No, when I fucking jumped the gun on the Grinch, dude.
Yeah.
I didn't listen. I got to clean the shit out of my ears.
Yeah.
Okay.
Serious, man. Serious stuff.
So this is
America.
From Mad Max, Beyond Thunderdome, a 1985 UK VHS tape.
Holy jumping Christ.
Oh, just letting you guys know, beautiful year is 1985. We're in England, so Margaret Thatcher is just like squeezing the joy out of everything.
So all these movies are going to be like The Crikey Chronicles or The Bloke Goes West.
The Quiet Fuck.
These are all American films. Okay. Just an FYI. So here we go, round one.
Bisbee goes to the market.
Game Master's Clue.
Uh-huh.
A venerated director working under an even more venerated director with his producer hat on this time produced this rancid movie, A Kitty Adventure, to end all kitty adventures?
Dude, you just said kitty adventure, by the way.
A venerated director that's working under...
Venerated? He's been shot or something?
Well, Andrew Dupin.
Goonies?
It is Goonies for five bigs.
So I've now officially lost.
It's Senior Spielbergo and Joe Dante?
No,
what's his face? Of course.
The late, great Richard Donner.
Yeah. Dick Donner, of course. Sorry about that.
All right. Round two here. Game Master's Clue. In this, one of my favorite comedies, a couple's road trip inspired by a countercultural classic, Chris Cabin.
Lost in America.
It is Lost in America for 5 points. Derailed, just the whole clue, just anyone who wants to know. In this, one of my favorite comedies, a couple's road trip inspired by a countercultural classic gets derailed in Las Vegas.
There it is.
Mm-mm. Round three. Game Master's Clue. This actioner centers on a nihilistic killing machine detective that has a weird car and a funny way of eating pizza. Eric Siska.
Cobra.
It's Cobra for 5 points. Oh, my God. Can you just hit eject real quick?
This is DVD.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. I wish people could see that while that was playing.
Don't worry, I'm taking a picture of it.
Steve decided to switch out his glasses and put sunglasses on.
Yeah.
That's right, because it's the DVD trailer lightning round, where the media is lighter, the features are special, and the points are doubled.
Oh, fuck.
I've already officially lost.
No, if the points are doubled.
Yeah, I mean, you can come back here, buddy.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, because it's not just 5-4. It's 10 points for the Game Master's Clue. So.
Everyone was saying I had to get everyone right. Another fucking head game.
They didn't know. They didn't know.
Another
about the
fucking
double.
Head game.
It's okay, Eric. It's okay.
I'm kidding. It's a bit, people.
Is it? All right, so I went through my DVDs that I have in a binder with really illegal... DVDs that I bought of Mystery Science Theater 3000. That are just like some dudes. This dude shipped me like $60 like a decade ago, blank DVDs that had every single Mystery Science Theater. I was unemployed. I had to label them myself. That's how that works.
Yeah, I'm going to burn them for you, but I ain't labeling them.
But thankfully, actually, in the intervening years, that show's streaming much more, so I barely use it anymore. But I still have a big binder with that and just a bunch of hodgepodge of DVDs that I never threw away. So what I'm going to do each round, it's going to be a different DVD. We'll have one trailer each.
Christ.
So the year of the movie that is, that's kind of your hint there. So the first round, previous We Love Movies episode, A History of Violence from 2005.
Yikes.
So my sunglasses are on because it's really, it's pretty cool in here.
Sure,
you know
it's
what
pretty
I mean?
Cool. Yeah. DVD's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
Pull your hair back.
Can I hear that one more time? I just want to hear it one more time.
This is DVD.
Here we go. Everybody get ready.
I'm ready.
Game Master's Clue. A white flight paranoid thriller about a couple of good girls including an East LA gang, Chris Cabin.
Oh, fuck. Havoc.
It is Havoc for 10.
Wow.
Huge
what
points.
The fuck?
Havoc. 10. Huge points.
I mean, A History of Violence, that is Chris Cabin's most watched DVD.
I do love that movie quite a bit.
It's skewed here.
Yeah, man. I mean, that movie, the trailer to that movie is wild.
Who's in Havoc again?
It's
Anne Hathaway.
This doesn't exist.
Anne Hathaway and Bijou Phillips and like Freddie Rodriguez, and it's like good white girls from the good part of town.
I think Steve Zalian directed it.
Maybe
it's like vaguely ringing a bell. I can't confirm if I've ever seen it.
I never have.
Terrible movie.
Terrible movie.
Terrible. Mm.
Now on my Notes on a Scandal DVD.
What is wrong with you?
You bought that movie? No,
I mean, by the way, I take that back. I have no fucking leg to stand on criticizing disc purchases.
No, my wife. It's a good movie. It's my wife's DVD, but we were keeping it. From 2006, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
So
okay.
Just 1 year later.
Sure.
Game Master's Clue, a gripping and powerful performance of a real world monster, told for some reason through the perspective of a fictional white guy.
Chapter 27?
It is not chapter 27.
Oh, fictional white. Oh, I fucked it up. That's the reverse. There's a fictional. Ah, rats.
Game Master's Clue, a gripping and powerful performance of a real-world monster told, for some reason, from the perspective of a fictional white guy.
Hmm.
So somebody who is fictional shouldn't be there watching a real person do something.
Oh, is this a Woody Allen movie? Yeah.
That was my first thought.
Okay. We're going to move on to the next one for 8 points. This film opened, Tribune Trivia. This film opened on a general release in Uganda on the 23rd of February, 2007. It is a good hint.
Oh,
actually,
now I fucking know what it is, and I saw it in theaters and the whole thing.
Eric Siska.
Last King of Scotland.
It is Eric Siska for 8 big points. Ooh, Last King of Scotland.
Yep.
It was, yeah, I take it back. It was a good tip.
See? See? Yeah. Uganda, ladies and gentlemen. Okay.
I went to see that movie at the old Lincoln Plaza, RIP, and almost got fucking choked out.
Why?
By the smell of the old lady perfume.
Oh, gotcha.
I was dying. I think Chelsea and I saw it together. We were the youngest people in that theater, but I'm not even fucking shitting you. Like 60 years. Good riddance to that place.
That's now a theater of the damned. All those people are probably dead by now.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Definitely, yeah. Definitely.
Isn't the end of that movie like James McAvoy, like, In Edia means house of horrors.
Yes.
Like there's a dead body here and something.
Yeah. Everybody's chopped up.
And that's when he's like, yeah. Oh, I should get to the airport.
It is so.
He was bad. Oh no!
Hold on, you're telling me Edia mean my best pals a baddie?
Boy, crikey.
Okay, the last Let's clue of the season.
Oh Lord,
let's do it.
For my Darjeeling Limited DVD. Because you got to do it, guys.
Of course.
You got to do it.
I got it on fucking Criterion. It's sitting right next to Chris on a shelf. I haven't watched it.
From 2007, just 1 year later again, Game Master's Clue, a juggernaut of an indie film, features a memorable twee indie rock soundtrack. Chris Cabin.
Juno.
It is Juno.
There it is.
For 10 big points.
And with that,
I think he's got it. I got to do some math here, but I think he did it.
Of course he did it. He just got 20 points.
Yeah, he did get 20 points. Yes.
Did you notice how fast he buzzed in on
Okay,
everything?
Eric, now you get your floor.
Here's the thing. This is what happened. The 05 to 07 with like the releases.
Oh yeah.
That's right when you were on hog film criticism. Mm-hmm. It makes sense.
And that's when
I made sure Steve knew. Oh wait, sorry.
No, stop it.
You see, folks? You see?
The bit is dead.
And of course, picking the aughts when I didn't watch movies. Uh-huh. Well, you know,
never. You didn't.
A little bit. Uh-huh. Well, one or two.
Just a few. Just maybe.
Maybe one or zero.
Okay, so this is.
Okay, here's the math. Okay, break it down.
All right. Come on. Chris Cabot did win with 106 points, mostly for the DVD trailer. For the what? The let me interject one more time. I'm sorry. I just want to make sure that I know what we're talking about.
This is DVD.
We're talking about DVD. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Got it. Oh, DVD. Got it.
That was
I thought you needed 270 to win.
No.
Out of here.
All right, we're going to keep going, dude. We're not leaving until he gets to 270.
All right.
Andrew Jupin had 88 points. Very valiant.
Okay.
And then Eric Siska with 57 points. And not Steven Sadak.
You know what? Yes.
Zero points.
But come on. It's not that bad.
It's really not.
No.
It's totally
I know everyone
fine.
In their car is a fucking genius, but when you're in a hot seat, my friends.
You get the game master looking at you with the sunglasses,
dude, yeah. staring daggers through them shades.
I really don't like it. It's unsettling.
So that's it. So Chris Cabin. I mean, you don't have to tell us here.
I won't.
Do you have an idea of what you're gonna do for your cameo?
I have three ideas.
Well, good thing, because the next 3 years, I think you'll be winning again.
We don't know it.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, you. Good luck killing this bit. I don't think you're gonna have any.
It's just that fucking poor dead horse. It's just a pile of jelly.
But you have three. You have three.
I have three ideas. Different in volume.
Ooh, I like this.
So we'll see.
Like loudness of the person, you mean?
Yes.
I think we're going to try to have that for our next episode, which will be Resident Evil next week. But we'll see. I mean, it might be the week after, depending on how... I don't know how Cameo works, how quick you can turn that
with
shit around.
Turnaround.
Yeah, so it
depends on the person.
Yeah. Oh, so we'll see. But in September, we'll definitely be hearing Chris Cabin's Cameo, which I think will have some choice words for Eric's. I can't tell him what to do.
In September, hearing Cabin's Cameo. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. Oh, that was on the Juno soundtrack.
Yeah. Oh.
Do you remember
the homes?
Chris Cabin's Cameo in September.
You can't undiddle that etch-a-sketch home skillet. You better believe that's in that trailer.
Dude. Oh,
I kind of want to rewatch that movie because I remember really liking it. Even the trailer, like, it's one of those trailers where you're like, oh, that's a good movie. And I kind
but
of
just the things coming out of Elliot Page and fucking Michael Cera's mouths and fucking Rainn Wilson, that line that you just like,
I know.
I'm throwing up already.
It's tough. I might rewatch that and reappraise. I'm curious.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a long time.
Really need to get a second helping of Diablo Cody.
You know what I'm going to do?
Really good.
No, I shouldn't.
What are you going to do?
I was going to tweet that I just won the game.
That would be something, dude.
We're recording this, by the way, on July 31st. People would be quite confused for an entire month.
Do you want to get Chelsea in here to confirm this, just so we have another witness?
Yeah, I said I'm going to do it.
Oh, great.
God damn it.
People will understand later.
But, you know, here's the thing, dude. That deficit was as such. They know you definitely would be lying. So until next week, when season 12 kicks off officially with the fucking OG Resident Evil movie, which I remember being righteously terrible. Please enjoy this episode of us talking Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome live at the Frequency Festival based out of Brooklyn, New York, that we did last June. And we'll see you in season 12 next week. Enjoy.
All right, we are live. Holy smokes, folks. My name is Andrew Jupin.
I'm Chris Cabin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
And we are We Hate Movies from right here in New York fucking city. My goodness gracious. It is rad to be in a performance space.
Yeah.
At home, give it up for 95 Bulls, everybody. That was fucking awesome. Holy Toledo. I guess we'll start off.
I'm not on cocaine, but I feel like I am now.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I wasn't, but
plus,
now I feel
with
that
the sweating.
Cocaine sweat is a thing.
Take a quick survey. Sweatiest show of all time?
Yes, definitely.
Oh, of course. Now, at home, can you clap? Can you let us know if you're sweaty as well?
It sounds like snaps.
There we go. All right.
Someone was coughing. I distinctly heard some coughing, which was great.
There's a ghost in another room.
If you are unfamiliar with what we do and you're tuning into the Frequency Festival here, we are a comedy show where we take a bad movie and sort of riff on it for a little bit. And that's what we will be doing for you this fine evening, talking Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome from 1985. Great year. For some.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much for others.
Yeah.
Directed by the great George Miller, of course. This is the third in a more or less rockin' franchise, except this one, maybe. I don't know.
Who's the Phantom who directed it with him?
Oh, I don't know. Some producer
another
friend.
Another George, actually.
Yeah, it's another George.
George Ogilvy, I want to say his name is.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yes. George Oogie Loves, I think.
Yeah, because, Oogie Loves, absolutely.
Because, what you call it, Miller was so upset that the producer, Byron, died in a helicopter crash doing location scouting for the movie, he needed some help. And Chris, I just want to let you know, if you ever died in a helicopter crash,
Party.
I would take like a week off the show, a real week.
We wouldn't even put up like a dummy episode. Yeah. Like it would just go totally dark for exactly 1 week.
And then we would milk it uh-huh. we would be like the best of Chris Cabin coming up for the next 3 weeks.
Look, a week is more than my father said he would in the same instance. And he was definitely sure to sit me down and tell me, this is what's going to happen if you die in a helicopter crash.
Wait, you and your old man just kicking back, chatting about if you die before me?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Have a couple beers, talk about how you're going to die. You know,
See, super healthy.
It's tragic if your son dies before you as a parent, unless it's a cool way, like a helicopter crash.
I mean, but you would have to, I mean, in the Thunderdome world, you would have to talk to your kids about what happens when you're going to die and when I die.
And that, you know what, and this movie shows how hard it is to raise children in the wasteland, which is what we are entering. We are now officially in the post-apocalypse. That's why we chose this movie.
Yeah,
that's
I think so.
So for those unfamiliar with this motion picture, Steve Sadak, how would you sort of distill the basic points here? This is the third movie in a motion picture franchise, but what's different about this one?
Yeah, this one, Max rolls into Bartertown, runs afoul of Tina Turner. You do get the Thunderdome, you're promised. And then it's like, yeah, but what if it's a different movie with cute little kids instead for the last hour?
You were reminded that this movie is indeed going beyond Thunderdome.
Yes, exactly.
It's not like Mad Max rolls into Thunderdome. Mm. It's everything that happens after he, like, farts around in Thunderdome for admittedly cool 15 minutes, but...
Do you think that was legalese? They're like, you can't just call it Mad Max Thunderdome.
Yeah,
it's
you're ripping them off.
In there.
You're ripping them off.
Maybe 10 minutes tops. You can't call it Mad Max. No. Beyond
it's
Thunderdome.
Like, now you're getting a little classer.
It's like you're calling it Mad Max Gyrocopter. There's only one shot of it.
this movie could have used a fucking gyrocopter.
Oh, that's right. No, he's got some weird like seaplane situation.
Super plane of some sort.
It looks like the plane from what was that? Their Disney cartoon Tailspin a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
For all those remembering
Baloo
Disney
Tailspin. Baloo flew drunk in that show, right?
That's how that worked. Fat bear, is that
yes.
right?
Yeah. No, and Steve, you're right. He was heavily intoxicated the entire time.
Got it. Okay.
Well, also in Thunderdome, I imagine there are bear pilots. Like that's how bears survive in the wasteland. They're like.
That would be interesting if you could have easily introduced some creatures from the nuclear waste, right?
Absolutely.
We're not getting into mutated creatures because, you know, the finger thing means the money there.
Right. You know, I just saw a mutated creature in that Zack Snyder flick and I'm okay. I'm good.
Oh, right. The zombie tiger in
Army
of the
Dead.
Yeah, that was an ill-advised move.
It would have been fine, but the CGI, man.
Nah, it wasn't there.
Bad.
So, yeah, Mad Max is just kind of driving from his last adventure. I think he went to Wawa in Australia, got himself a hoagie, went to Hoagie Fest like you would.
Beyond Hoagieville, that's something perhaps a titch more entertaining than
Let me get a Vegemite hoagie. Extra water, please, on the side.
Well, it's a submarine. You mean underwater? Is the sandwiches underwater now?
Oh, you're talking about a hoagie? Hoagie and submarine, same thing, eh?
Okay. Cool.
And this is what the movie lets you know immediately that this is a cuter Mad Max, because in previous iterations, it would be just some, like, nightmare biker gang, and now it's like a father and his adorable son that kind of fucks him over.
You're speaking of Master Blaster.
No.
I was wondering if they're father and son. I guess not.
I don't think so.
I guessed yes.
Really?
Master Blaster, right. Father, son.
Master shoot blank. No impregnation.
No, he's just my stepson.
Embargo on. I'm putting on a condom.
Found him in wasteland. Does not count.
Child embargo on. Wrapped it up, I did.
I don't know why he's talking like Yoda.
Me mother for 4 months. Mother leave town. Me leave left with son. Form meaningful bond.
Me go to one Def Leppard show once and go into the bathroom for some fun time and blank.
No, but you're speaking of the pilot and his son, right? Yeah, they drop something on Max and steal his ride.
Yeah, and it's also confusing because it's what's his face from Road Warrior,
Bruce Spence,
which is like, how is this not the same character? Is it the same character?
It's not, and that's why it's stupid.
I forget who it was either you or Steve or Eric who was talking about like Mad Max as a myth.
Yeah,
like I can see the gyro guy being also a myth, like, and he carrying.
Dude, that
over.
Is like that's like an F level myth, then, man. You're going from Mad Max to the gyrocopter.
He's the one guy who's flying everywhere.
Look at Christianity, right? Like Lazarus, what's this guy doing? Like, no one really cares. He's like the F degree, but it's like, well, he keeps coming back. Maybe that's what the gyrocopter.
Exactly. You need other X-Men. It can't just be Wolverine. You know what I mean? mean? You need to sort of fill out the ranks a little bit.
All I'm saying is the last time we saw that guy in a fucking Mad Max movie, he was flying a thing.
Yeah.
And the first time we see him in this movie, he's flying a thing, and it's not the same guy. And I know, Steve, you brought this up. It was Australia in the 1980s. It was against the law for you to make a movie in Australia without Richard Spence being in the movie.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's why he's there.
Yeah.
But it's just... have him play something else. Have him play any one of these sillily named characters.
Or give him a mustache, maybe. A mustache would
that
be helpful.
Would be nice.
Like, you know,
well, I thought I mean, he kind of has a little blonde bush like Eric's got over there.
I got some blonde bush upstairs and down.
Excellent.
But, you know, Max, I don't think he's even referred to as Max in this movie. He's just the man with no name.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So maybe this is he's just also taken a new life.
He does introduce himself to Master Blaster as Me Max. That is something that I...
Oh, okay.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah, so
he, oh, you're right. You're right.
He's like, Me Master. And he's like, Me Max. So that's the only time...
That's his new name, Me Max.
Yeah.
Oh, Me Max.
I'm
that
an
sounds
alien.
Like some like little like green globule but would be selling you the prescription on a commercial or
oh,
something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. How about some more Me Max?
Do not take Me Max after swimming. Me Max will cause birth defects in children.
So, like, he has this kid. Did he sprout it?
Bruce Spence's kid.
Yeah, he has a... Did he sprout it?
Well,
or was
no, but
actual...
that's what's also confusing, because at the end of Road Warrior, right, he's got that lady friend, so you just assume, like, they got down in the wasteland, and now he's, like, sidled with this horrible child.
And then they both ate the mother?
I would think so, right? That seems to be what's going on here, but they steal Mad Max's stuff.
Yes, all of his shit, and then he gets all mad about because he's Mad Max, the titular Mad Max.
That's what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
And I think he goes to Bartertown, and if I had to draft post-apocalyptic places I would live in, Bartertown would be pretty high.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Electricity, right?
Uh-huh. They've got electricity.
Sure. Yep.
And the most important part, they have Saturday nights. Because there is one part where, you know, Master Blaster's really excited about the whole situation. And he's like, it's Saturday night. Enjoy yourself.
I'm getting fucking laid tonight.
Exactly, man. Like, I feel like Saturdays don't happen in the after the apocalypse, but they do in fucking Bartertown.
But what, like, I don't see any, like, potato distilleries where you can get like booze.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm not seeing a place. It's mostly just for bloodshed. And like, I don't even see, like, there's, it doesn't seem like there's a prostitution racket in
well,
this.
Well, there
this,
is a mention
there's definitely.
Of the brothels.
Is there? Okay.
Yes,
yeah.
Because when Max shows up to town, he's like, I do have something to trade. Actually, Alfred Hitchcock, I have something to trade.
Dude, this guy looks exactly like Alfred Hitchcock. It's disgusting.
He's got skills to trade, and he's like, the brothels are full.
That's the line I hear all the time.
Brothels. Full.
But even so, I don't get to see people enjoying themselves there. Yeah. The only
dude,
time
you do no, hang on a second. You do not want to see these wasteland scum fucks getting down.
Oh yeah,
well,
I
kind of do.
Turn this into a Harmony Korine movie.
Well,
do
let's,
it.
You know,
no.
Let's clap at home if you want to see some mutant sex.
I want to hear it.
It's
there we go.
See?
It sounds like someone is falling down the stairs. I love it.
That's many stairs.
That's many stairs. I
love it.
And that's the thing, too. Tina Turner has an apartment in this movie. Very few apartments in the post-apocalypse.
Pretty tough real estate market,
yes.
I'd wager.
And
yeah.
It's clean.
Like, it's super
there's
clean.
There's no dust, even. And everything's
Although,
dust.
The smell must be terrible, because it's all powered by methane. There's pig shit everywhere. There's
yes.
An underworld of pigs.
Yeah, like, is it worth it having a penthouse apartment in Bartertown when you're every waking second it smells like shit?
But I guess you get used to it, maybe, right?
Yeah.
Maybe, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, these are concessions I just would not make. I would just commit suicide in this kind
I
of
world. I can't even smell pig shit.
We should say, I mean, that Tina Turner song that kicks off the movie.
It's fucking awesome.
It's a banger.
It's a great song. But again, Mad Max movies do not start with pop songs.
I love it. I'm because it starts. They have two. The first one's not We Don't Need Another Hero. It's something else.
Parentheses Thunderdome.
Yes, and yeah. She's like something, something. And the living will envy the dead. And I'm like, that's an odd touch for a pop song.
She should have used it as like a demo version for Golden, like Thunderdome. You'll die outside.
Oh, that would be great, dude.
I've no problem with the music in this movie except for the score. It gets a little like whimsical
yes.
And like farty towards
because you have a bunch of dumbass little kids
That's
running
right.
around, dude, so it's got to be whimsical as hell. This is like Peter Pan shit, and it's stupid.
I do love the setup here, though. Like, so Mad Max goes in, you know, he realizes that everyone stole his shit, he wants it back, and he wants some, you know, guzzling, as we love to call it, and the only way he can get it is he has to kill somebody. And I mean, like, I kind of like Mad Max as an assassin kind of a situation for like
sure.
5 minutes.
Sure.
And yeah. I do love the reveal of Saxophone Guy. Saxophone Guy rules the school. He goes up to, you know, he runs afoul of like this really cool gang of like a post-apocalyptic nightmare people, including
you
one guy.
You sound like you want to join them, dude. You're like, these really cool nightmare people came by.
I mean,
they were so cool.
I mean, these days, if the heat keeps up like this, might as well.
Definitely.
I do appreciate the guy Iron Bar, the really short one. He has a little thing that makes him look taller. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I might start doing that.
Dude, you would invest in a puppet extension?
Exactly.
Because no, it's just a weird like mask
like
on a pole.
Doll yeah. head or something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally. That porcelain doll face.
That's where you measure. Yeah, doctor. Yeah. Drunk doctor. But please, just measure from there.
Anything to get me to 5'10", dude. Anything to get me to 5'10".
But so... Iron Bar isn't the guy playing the saxophone, though? That's a different
dude?
No,
that's another. Yeah, they go up, and there is a dude. You hear saxophone in the score, you're like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then you turn around. It's almost like an Austin Powers gag. It's just a guy with a fucking saxophone.
Yeah. It could have actually been some gag, and it's just some, like, famed Australian person we don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, that has to be the best gig for a saxophone player in the post-apocalypse, right? Because otherwise, you are what? A corpse?
No, well, that we could be hanging out with the Lost Boys if you were in California.
Well, I guess
that,
so.
That saxophone
well,
guy
you know,
knew what
Bill,
was up.
Bill Clinton's probably like in a bunker somewhere down under
oh,
a golf
man,
course.
There's three saxophone guys left on the planet. It's me, someone in Australia, and the guy hanging out with the Lost Boys, baby.
The coolest thing is the big one happened while I was on Jeff Epstein's island, baby. Paradise on Earth.
Is that crazy, Jeff? Put your feet up. Let's relax.
Yeah, he's headlining over at Lightning Dome with like a gag ball in his mouth
yes,
and just blowing it.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so and like it's the idea is she's like, you know, the queen of the city, anti-entity, as she's called.
That's correct.
That's correct.
Yes. Yeah. Only called Auntie in the movie, though, right? They never actually say the last.
Yeah, what is that shit, though, then? Is some, like, IMDb nonsense or what?
I think it's in the end credits, actually.
Oh, man, I hate that. Like, if it doesn't make the movie, that's not the character's name.
Yeah.
That's the action figure. That's a Star Wars rule. Everybody's got a fucking name.
Yeah, everyone's
well, the Star Wars rule, everyone's got a fucking 50-page backstory.
Which I would wish. I mean, expand this universe. Give me some little paperback novels I could be an idiot with.
I think they dubbed over all of the auntie, like Mel Gibson just kept on calling her Tina.
Tina.
Oh, crap. Sorry. That's my problem. Tina. Damn it. Did it again.
They don't particularly explain how it is she's the only like non-Australian in this world.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I would love a thing about like, you know, oh, I was playing a concert when the big one went off and I got stuck here in this wasteland.
Yeah. Well, later we do see a guy driving a car with like a cowboy outfit and cowboy hide like on his car, like a cowhide on his car.
Yeah.
I think that guy also crossed a bridge or something.
He's Sturgill Simpson, right? Yeah. I couldn't check.
No, I think it's Larry the Cable Guy.
Hey, cool, I'm in a wasteland.
I spent so much time on this car right here. Oh, I'm dead, damn it.
They say living would envy the dead. I ain't envying nobody. Look at my car, yuck.
Dude, that's a note to George Miller for your next fucking Mad Max World movie. Kill that fucker in some way. That'd be great.
Yeah, you ever fart so hard you envy the dead?
Often.
And like this is when she's like, you know, I'll give you all the shit you want. You just have to kill somebody. She does almost give a backstory. She's like, but that's not important, kind of a thing.
Which, yes, it is, because otherwise I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, and if I had seen more of her around, but like these are the scenes, folks. The middle part here where you see Tina Turner, that's it until the ending. So like, if you had gotten more time with her in the city, maybe I would be like, yeah, I don't need a backstory.
Sure.
Yeah. She's doing stuff.
Right.
But she's not doing stuff.
And this is like the traditional Mad Max deal, right? It's like, you give me, you know, X amount of your time, do, you know, Y chore, and then I'll give you gasoline, a bunch of water, and then you can just fuck off to wherever the next movie is.
Yes,
absolutely. Is the idea.
I have to say something about the casting in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
There was an actor, and it wasn't in quotation marks.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It was an actor named Angry Anderson.
Yes, I think Angry Anderson plays Iron Bar.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Like, I would just be calling all my kids, like, moods.
Pissed off Pete and so on?
Yeah. Horny Latimer.
No, you're not calling your kid horny anything.
Yeah,
what's the matter with you?
Why not? You just go,
this one's going to be my horny child?
Oh, horny child.
You can't call a kid horny.
Sad Cabin and Horny Cabin.
Yeah, but now you're looking
Sad Cabin, I definitely would get
behind.
You've got
to be off the grid if you're raising horny kids.
Exactly. You are looking at a baby's face, and I shall dub thee horny.
Yeah. As I'm being carted off in handcuffs, screaming, no, it's horny!
Well, the last one looked like a Jeff, but you look a lot like a horny. It's a family.
Not
man.
Horny for me. No, okay, now I'm in jail.
No, come on. You've got to understand. Oh, no, okay, I'm being silent.
What, I'm arrested?
Oh, no.
Yeah, but there is, yeah, there's Bartertown, which rules, and has sick two-for-one Saturday nights.
Apparently, yeah, totally.
And underneath, in the underworld, is where all the methane comes from, which is pig shit.
It's where the sausage is made.
Mm. I was like, because there is Pig Killer, who is obviously, you
Pig
know.
Pig Killer, but you get a look at this. Pig Killer looks exactly like Zach Woods.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
The Sleepless Nights look.
So,
yeah.
Is this supposed to be like a brand or something? It looks like they put like sun lotion on him, except for to make it say Pig Killer on his chest.
Oh,
it's
is
just
that right?
A little,
it looks like a beach prank.
Yeah, it might have been a beach prank. I feel like that's got to be going on in Australia, especially in the post-apocalypse where it's all beach.
Tons of pranks.
Yeah, George Miller definitely seems like the type who would run that kind of stuff. No.
Shh. We're going to put the stencil on his chest. Just wait right here. Oh, yeah.
I didn't even notice what you're talking about.
I'm Pig Killer, and this is my friend Fake Glasses Guy, where he has fake glasses on.
On his chest, it says Pig Killer.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Got it.
It's funny because you were saying we get to see this is how, you know, this the sausage is made.
Uh-huh.
And Pig Killer was actually...
He was trying to make some sausage.
He got arrested for fucking making some sausage.
Well, I mean, I know power is important, but you need all 600 pigs. Like, that could be a fun little barbecue you could have with, like, two or three.
Well, if you want to run the Thunderdome lights,
yeah,
I imagine you need all of them.
I guess the society functions more like we're going to barbecue the people who fail at Thunderdome, right?
Yeah.
That would be the
cannibalism?
That's the thing. What is the cannibalism situation?
It's
got
to be going on.
It's got to be fucking sky high, right?
Yeah.
Absolute. We're just eating each other left and right. You have to put that in this movie.
Yeah, clap at home if you would eat another man.
We need
dead silence.
Yeah.
Nope. One person. One person fell down the stairs.
All right, this is somebody else. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
some pulled human tacos. No, I would have liked that.
Your claps are legally binding, by the way. Now you have to.
Yeah, we're going to do like a Fear Factor thing next or something.
What in the ever-loving fuck is that?
People are catching up. They're hungry for some, like, man steak, dude.
Yeah. They're hungry now. It's getting towards dinner time. It is true, yeah.
Man steak at the Outback Steakhouse?
No rules, just right. All human being steaks.
So he's trying to get his car back, correct?
Yeah.
Is the thing.
Yeah,
and
like,
hey,
Max, they're fucking with your car, man.
I do like the idea that we're building with the world here, like, gas is becoming even harder to get, so now his vehicle is being pulled by camels. So
yes,
and they're selling the camels as if they're cars.
Yes.
Now listen, this baby has so much engine in her. Don't you worry about it. No, you take the gasoline and you pour it in the asshole is what you do. That's the easiest way to do it. It's like a car. It's exactly like a car. Don't worry about it.
They do say power steering, which I imagine is like you grab that goddamn camel's neck and you start jerking it. Don't worry. You use enough power.
Neither of you should ever ride an animal.
I have once.
Well, really? What are we talking?
A horsey.
Yeah?
A horsey.
How'd that go?
It was scary.
I was terrified of the only horse I ever rode.
Yeah.
Oh, everybody's riding
Wait
horses.
A second. Bronx boys riding a horse? When did this happen?
I rode a horse named Puddles, and I cried my eyes out. That's what happened.
For how long?
You cried like, Puddles over Puddles?
Yes. Somebody needed to take the horse away from me because I was so upset because this horse was
You were
scaring
so upset that you were upsetting the horse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I think that's how that
works. This was you as a child.
This would be a little,
this was a fucking 38-year-old man.
I rode a horse as a man, an adult, and I had no idea how to control the thing, and it started going into like traffic, and I'm just like, someone's got to come get us.
help him somebody.
What was the situation where you had a horse on the freeway?
I was on my honeymoon. More on that later.
Okay. So there are no horses. There doesn't seem to be many horses in this world.
No.
It's mostly camels and like beat up shit wagons.
Yeah, because I think the horses were ridden to the ground and or eaten pretty
definitely.
Quickly.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's
right
a
before
delicacy.
The people.
Do people eat camel? Is camel probably tastes pretty okay.
Probably.
What's going on?
I'd eat it.
A hump steak? I take a hump steak.
Well, isn't
I don't
is
think you're
part?
Eating a hump steak.
Isn't that
dude.
Where the water is?
Yeah, that's true. Oh, so it's
like a wet steak.
Yeah, a wet steak. I don't want a wet steak.
Big wet bowl of camel meat.
Water steak sounds bad.
Yeah, so we also get introduced to who we talked to about a little bit, Master Blaster, who's down.
Love him.
He runs the underworld, but also secretly, he kind of runs Bartertown, you kind of find out.
Right.
Bartertown.
Also, Master Blaster two people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right? It's like a fun Halloween costume.
Yes.
Because Master is like a little guy mm-hmm. on the shoulders of Blaster, which is yeah. like a big dude.
He's riding an animal. That's right. It all back around.
There were some creative college kids who tried to do this with their buddy, and their neck is fucked up to this day.
Oh, totally. Like, come on, Gary, you just get on me. You're shorter.
You're squeezing too much, bro. You're squeezing.
It's 1985. We gotta do it.
This wasn't worth it, man. Nobody gave a shit about this movie.
I thought you were shorter. No, I'm the Blaster. You're the man. I don't remember anything. I'm gonna pass out.
Yeah, so like basically Tina Turner is feeling threatened by the fact that Master Blaster kind of runs shit, which he shows by doing embargo, which is like, hey man, fuck you, now the lights don't work, which yeah, I yeah. love.
It's
kind of
like
power
you,
move.
If you were like hanging out power in the backyard move. And you were like being loud and whatnot with like with your friends and everything, yeah. like maybe on a Saturday night, like sure. a Bartertown Saturday night.
Sure.
And your parents like flick the deck lights, like we fucking own this place. It is ours.
Curfew in 4 minutes. Get these transient friends off of my patio.
Embargo. Cannot write about this Marvel movie until 5 days before release.
Oh man,
that is a kind of embargo.
Yeah,
you're right.
It's true.
That's Cuba. That's another one.
Also another one.
Two famous embargoes, dude. Cuba and movie reviews.
Yes,
there you go.
That's about it.
But Master at least is like really wants to hear it from Tina Turner. He's like, embargo. Say you like me.
And she's like, louder.
Exactly. So everyone can hear.
I don't think the back heard it.
How handsome am I? I'm listening. Embargo.
So what the idea here is Max is going to have to assassinate Blaster so that Master is on his own.
That's right.
And Tina Turner can really run Bartertown.
If I was right. Master, though, uh-huh. I would definitely have a backup Blaster. You
oh,
know
I
what I mean?
Definitely.
Like I would
a
be
whole
grooming
army
somebody.
Of them.
Yes, exactly.
Totally.
Because like, this shit could happen. Like obviously you're a little exposed. It's like, okay, here Blaster 2. He's kind of fat, but he's pretty strong.
Well, like
Blaster 3 has one leg, but he's okay.
He runs the underworld, and there's guys like Pig Killer who are just down there shoveling shit for a living. Like, no, you lift weight. You're Blaster 2.
Exactly.
Yeah, you could whip Pig Killer into shape, and he could be the next one, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, totally.
Blaster 4, it's just my brother-in-law. He's kind of a jerk, but he was the best I could find.
Then you can name yourself Master Killer, yeah. which is pretty sweet.
We must get you protein. We must feed you protein to bulk you up.
So, whatever, man. The whole thing is like you got to face off against this motherfucker in Thunderdome. And here comes like the promise of the movie 15 minutes into the situation.
Well,
here.
No, first we do get to Saturday night where like it's like the idea is Max has to like shove Blaster in the middle of the causeway.
Oh,
kind
right.
Of
she's like, you got to start shit and yes. like. Basically, like, fake a fight because
yes.
the whole thing is it's a society built on like any disagreement is solved in Thunderdome.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because they say something about like disagreements turn into larger disagreements, which eventually leads to war. So, this is like the second there's even the slightest offense in Thunderdome, and one of you is fucking dead before the day is out.
You know, early on, people were doing it over like lawn stuff and like. Like you spat near my camel and stuff like that, and then they were like, "Oh no, it's for real. We're gonna die." Good.
Yes,
okay.
I'm gonna battle you to death because I like Goldfinger a little bit more than Casino Royale. That's it, and you like that more than me. So that's it. That's
and
it.
And that's how the pop culture wars ended, and all the nerds killed each other in Thunderdome.
What a good idea!
That look at this. The post-apocalypse turns out it's great. It's
only Goldfinger.
But you know the Thunderdome is iconic and it's amazing in this movie, and I just yeah. wish they would go back to it at some point.
No.
Like they just do it at the start,
yeah,
and then we hang out with some little kids,
yeah,
and then the yep. movie kind of ends.
I want because like they keep telling the all right, Max, this is what's going to happen. You're going to fight Blaster only in this battle, and it's you know you get weapons and da 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 da. Two men enter, one man leave. We'll say that a bunch. But no one's like, and then, oh, also, by the way, here's this Cirque du Soleil bouncy apparatus. Like, no one ever, like, he has to be like, oh, what are you tying me to? What's
I'm
happening?
I'm going to need a training lesson on this bungee before
exactly.
I get into a fight to the death. I don't know how to use this apparatus.
Yeah, they just, this used to be a place where they did Cirque du Soleil.
Yes.
And they just had all the leftover bungee cords and
in
stuff.
In this Thunderdome, we do it to Beatles music. It's Thunderdome
oh.
love.
Man, people will throw money away on that shit left and right. and right.
Oh, yeah.
Every day, every which way. So there's a battle with a lot of jumping. They take big blades from up on the.
That's cool.
It's kind of cool. Like, hell damn really ass cool. Chainsaws.
The chainsaws, it's funny because, you know, gases, there's a shortage. Yeah. I like that the chainsaw just doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, because they're trying to put pig shit in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm just pouring pig shit in.
One thing that they set up that doesn't get paid off because we only have one entry in Thunderdome is there's these spikes, and what Blaster is trying to do is kind of like, you know, boomerang him into or slingshot him into the spike because if it gets into it.
Yes.
I want that to happen to somebody once.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
In like, the movie or now?
That would be fine too.
Either also, or, really. Yeah, I mean, but nice. Like you get the fuck. It's like Emilio Estevez in Mission Impossible with the elevator.
Yes.
Like a spike just right in your fucking.
Because Blaster's like, maybe. And he goes in and he keeps just missing it.
I think also if you took the weapons out of this, it's a pretty rad, like 1990s Nickelodeon game show.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Like you could, don't you, right? Like you could picture, like Michael Malley, like hosting an episode of Guts, where he's like, "Yeah, we're back in the Thunderdome now, yeah. And there's two tiny children. They're gonna swing around with chainsaws and whatnot,
and one will die. That we promise you. I mean, Nickelodeon, you do that now, people will finally watch that failing network.
Yeah, they might come back up if the guys just walk around. Well, there's can somebody clear? This is kids' brains on my
yeah,
shoe.
I mean, you didn't think they weren't losing lives on the set of Double Dare left and right?
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the aggro crag is here.
Totally.
Goopin' time is...
Let's go to Mo for the videotape.
Guts jokes.
Some kid had to have drowned in that green
absolutely.
Slime. Oh, you know, there was like probably like asbestos in it. Who the fuck knows what they were doing?
Oh, definitely. Thing. I got lung cancer because I was on Nick Arcade. Absolutely. Yeah,
you give it a 5 years, there will be a 10-part podcast about that very thing.
Chapter 4, the test results.
The Omek had like the smoke that came out of his mouth was totally toxic.
Oh my God, no one told me the smoke coming out of my mouth was menthol.
Yeah, nobody talks about the other cases that Aaron Brockovich investigated, but Omak was one of them.
Mm, absolutely.
Aaron Brockovich got so much justice for so many Nickelodeon personalities.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I mean, the fight, we're underselling it a touch.
Yeah.
It rules. It's really cool.
It's very good.
And Max gets this giant mallet, this like cartoon. This looks like a Mario weapon or something.
Yes.
Yeah, totally. You'd knock out Bowser with this fucking thing. It's great.
Boom, 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 boom. Yeah.
Just like that. Whatever the fuck that person is doing.
That is exactly it. Thank you.
Yep, there it is.
I'm so glad my equipment left through the post-apocalypse, Gallagher.
I'm the only stand-up comedian left on the whole fucking planet. Now I just need some watermelons.
I was banished to Australia for being terrible.
Oh, that just continues to be great.
Yeah. Okay, two watermelons enter, right? Okay. There you go.
Zero watermelons leave because I'm blasting them both.
Whoa. I can't believe in the post-apocalypse even my stupid gay jokes don't work. God damn it.
Gallagher, you broke the law. You destroyed two watermelons instead of one. So you break a deal, you face the wheel.
Yeah, he's been, I mean, he's had to have been in the Thunderdome at least like five times at least just for little petty grievances that he has.
Oh, Gallagher? Yeah, he would have been wiped the
fuck out.
Well,
because he's annoying. Like, I feel like if you're annoying, you're always in the Thunderdome and or you're dead.
Yeah, you're hoping for dead. It would be great if he was the one up on the spike.
So they take that big mallet that you usually hit with Donkey Kong with and they knock off Blaster's helmet.
Yes.
And the rub is what Tina Turner was disingenuous about. Oh,
I forgot to mention
whistle.
Oh, the whistle, yes.
Yeah. Aspect, sorry.
Because he finds out earlier in the film that he's a bit Blaster's a bit sensitive to hearing or has sensitive hearing kind
high
of a situation
and whatnot. So that's how he gets the best of him is he starts blowing a whistle and then he beats the shit out of him and he knocks the helmet off and it is revealed and this is information that clearly Tina Turner knows about and has not been forthcoming.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Is what the fuck?
Who's there?
Can you fucking ban that person or something?
He has Down syndrome, and that's something that, like, no one knew until the mask comes off, and Max doesn't want any part of it. And then somehow Master comes in, he's like, he has the mind of a child. Oh, come on, man. I need this dude.
Hey, wait a second.
But it's a nice...
Blaster 2 will not be ready for 3 more weeks.
Embargoes for everybody until I get a new blaster. All embargoes.
it's a nice moment in the movie because it reminds you again of Max's humanity. You know, I think sometimes, like, in these movies, it's a little hard because he's just kind of, like, the vessel for the story and there's not much, like, characterization. Oh, yeah. But this is like, oh, even Mad Max has limits, which is great. So someone else, unfortunately, murders this poor guy is the idea.
They've got a sniper.
No, it's Ironbar? Ironbar, yeah. He's got
this
some,
guy's
like,
a real dirty son of a bitch in this movie, huh?
Crossbows. Pretty cool. I love seeing a crossbow bolt go into a guy's belly.
And that's the end of him. And then now it's like, now Ironbar is basically Master's boss kind of a thing. And then he's going to have to make a Bartertown run or else he's going to get fed to the pigs.
Like Gary Oldman in Hannibal.
Yeah, I have a problem with this. These pigs are not big enough to eat that little guy. I'm sorry.
You don't think so?
No.
What
no,
are
no.
you talking about? They would have a fucking field day with
what
this guy.
What if you like broke him up a little bit?
They'd eat him like a Macintosh apple, dude. Are you crazy?
He's taking a few of them down with him. I think you're going to really eat it at the end of all this. You're going to have less pig shit to run your city.
Just for
an execution, just for a flashy execution.
Human flesh probably makes great pig shit. Like, do you think that methane would burn a little brighter?
Maybe
because it's got like the soul.
That's
right?
an interesting thing. I mean, is it only like pigs that can get this going?
Yeah, that's right. Like, there must. I mean, we never see how they shit in this society. I would love that to be explored.
Big burning question. Watching Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, what's the bathroom?
I bet you in Bartertown, it's kind of like a composting situation. You bring your bag of shit to the farmer. Market.
Yeah. Here
I'm
you
just
go.
Saying, depending on the evening, my shit and pig shit, not a huge difference.
Uh-huh. Well, you're walking in both all the time here.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Like, they don't really point that out. It looks too dry most of the time, I'll be honest with you. It'd be more sloppy.
Yeah, that's a good point. So Master, you know, kind of falls in line, and like, Max has broken the deal, by the way, because he didn't kill, which he's got to face the wheel.
What deal?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he's just like, oh, you're fucking double timing me now. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Tina Turner jumps down. It's like, all right, you know, even if it's unfair, we had a deal. And if you break the deal, you face the wheel. And our Alfred Hitchcock looking guy, I just love how he comes in to support her all the time. Just like jumping up and being like, break the deal, face the wheel.
I, too, can reiterate the rules. Yes, good evening.
This guy's getting paid in feet pics for sure. That's how this works.
By the way, one of the dumbest parts of the IMDb Tribune trivia for this movie mentions that they say there are no rules in Thunderdome. But, there's a rule that two men enter, one man leaves. Is that not a rule?
That's a rule.
Sometimes you read those things.
No
to
rules,
me.
Just right, is what you're thinking.
Yeah.
No, I fantasize about, like, the conditions in which someone sat down at, like, an iPad or a computer and whatnot and was like, I'm going to set the fucking record straight about this Mad Max era.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it right on this IMDb trivia section, and I'm going to save the world by spending time writing this.
You really have to imagine the crippling loneliness. That's really what is driving the IMDb message board in general.
Just to be angry about it, just to like watch the movie and be like, okay, all right, Thunderdome, okay, that's coming up. Okay, two men enter, one man leave. And then the guy introduces it, great performance in his emceeing of this thing, and saying that there are no rules in there in terms of the fighting. And then they introduced a rule already. Oh, my God.
Quick question about the MC. Does that guy have an apartment as well, you think?
Definitely.
Probably.
Okay. Like, not as nice as Tina Turner's. And maybe he doesn't have a saxophone guy.
His cape looks pretty clean.
It does.
He looks like if Oingo Boingo had a Flava Flav. He's got a cape and everything.
I can totally see that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He's really doing it up.
He's another guy you would like to see come back in the third act of this movie, but this movie's terrible.
No.
See him
we
ever
can't
again.
Have that. We can have kids, though. We can have a bunch of kids in the wild, I guess.
Yeah, he spins. He doesn't
it's
get...
Like, so set the scene, though, right? It's like a Wheel of Fortune type thing.
Mm-hmm.
You spin this wheel, and there's a bunch of, like, you know, oh, charges are dropped. You're executed immediately.
I got the options right here. Uh-huh. Hard labor.
Nice.
And then there's one that's underworld, which I guess is the pig shit, but I thought that would be hard labor. I don't know what the difference is there. Acquittal, spin again, which I like that they put that on there.
2 week stay in Margaritaville in Cabo San Lucas.
Cheeseburger in paradise. Uh-huh. Gulag, forfeit goods, death, life imprisonment, auntie's choice, or amputation, my favorite.
Wow, I was really hoping that the wheel landed on start a fucking Mad Max movie. That's what I really hoped it landed on.
I'm really, I have a lot of I really am glad that Vanna White came on to do this one scene. I'm glad she was there. They didn't get Pat. I wish they had gotten Pat, but hey.
Pat Sajak somehow thought he was above being in Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
Yes, I imagine he was on his own Thunderdome.
He was at home jerking off to Ronald Reagan.
Which is where he calls
the
Thunderdome.
He's like a nightmare, right? He's like a right-wing nightmare.
He's a
nightmare.
Total terror.
Yeah, insane
the
person.
Dude fucking stinks.
Crazy person.
Yeah, so he gets gulag, which means he has to do that...
it's exile. I don't understand why they call it gulag.
He has to do that crazy horse song, well, the horse with no name.
You have to listen to that and repeat for the rest of your life.
Christ.
See how long it takes before you take your own
in
life.
In 1985, gulag was very hot. It was, everyone was talking about
sure.
it.
But still, like, just call it exile. That's what it is. Exile.
I love that they put on this, like, Bob's Big Boy style kind of helmet.
Yes,
on
whatever this fast food mascot was from the before times.
Yeah, like
absolutely.
The Roo Burgers or something franchise.
Yeah, we collect these, you know. We have a whole house just full of the Bob's Big Boys, the leftover ones.
By the way, we asked the question earlier on the show at a different episode about if Australians eat kangaroo meat, and we got a resounding yes. They love that shit.
Okay.
Love
apparently,
it.
Yeah.
They eat it with every meal.
But steaks and everything.
This is the episode to set the record straight on Aussies.
But I mean, think about it. You're in the desert. It's post-apocalyptic. They show the sun.
Yeah.
You're on a horse. They put this huge helmet on you. You're wearing all these clothes. It's like 3 to 4 degrees hotter than it is on this stage. It's like totally, like whoa, dude. Could you imagine it?
I might be sitting in quicksand right now.
And I just need to... reference my John Belushi cocaine sweat that's going on right now.
Well, we did do some speedballs before the show.
Just a couple.
I mean, Alfred Hitchcock in this definitely has cocaine sweat all day and all
yes,
night.
Yes, for sure.
I mean, he's really doing it. I mean, he also seems like he's turning into like the old guys who run the universe in Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yes, those big pig people.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it, man.
The clothing is shedding off to become one of them, the great ones.
And so they, you know, it's basically they have this like little bottle of water for the horse. The horse is like, ooh, water, and basically fucking tears off.
Well,
into
so this
the
is
desert.
I was gonna say though. I mean, this is a horse that they didn't eat.
True.
I guess
so they have like gulag horses, right?
Well, this one's very stringy. You wouldn't want to eat this one. I'll be honest with you.
It's interesting to waste resources on someone like this when you could just kill him.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Totally. Just get that fucking chainsaw that I saw back in Thunderdome. Fill it up. Ice that dude.
Yeah.
This horse shit is ridiculous.
We can't spare the pig shit, okay? You're going to have to kill him the old way.
I will say this is the first of two amazing quicksand deaths. This horse gets sucked down. Yeah.
But this is my question about it, though. I think that horse is already dead.
Oh, yeah, he's dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not as tragic as the other one, I guess.
The other one's not that tragic either.
No, not at all, actually.
One less rotten lost boy in this world.
Kind
whatever.
Of expected, honestly.
So, yeah, the horse fucking... What are you doing?
No, I'm just...
he's doing something.
I was just curious if, like, that... You know, PETA isn't in Australia, so, like, they just killed in excess's horse. Kind of a thing.
Why was it in excess?
I mean,
horse?
They had an extra horse for a video, and like nobody wanted it after that. We'll give it to George Miller. Oops, that horse died in quicksand.
The video for Don't Stop. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's the big one.
Did
yeah.
that guy like hang himself on a horse like an old Western when they'd like throw?
No,
I'm saying, right?
I don't think so.
Ballad of Buster Scruggs himself.
Yeah, you know, you put it, folks, try this at home. You put a noose on someone, put them on a horse, it's attached to a tree, the horse eventually leaves, and they get hung.
Let me just say, specifically, do not do that.
Also, spoiler alert for Buster Scruggs.
Yeah, come on, man.
Thanks for nothing.
Spoiler alert for the In Excess biography.
He's fine. He's doing better than we are right now.
Yes.
But yeah, and Max is thrown from the horse. He survives the quicksand and walks a little further on, but then totally passes out.
We didn't mention, by the way, he's definitely rocking like the fucking William Wallace in this movie.
It's a terrible wig.
It's awful. What is going on?
When he finally gets a haircut, I'm like, I'm so relieved for the movie that I don't have to look at that anymore.
They were trying to make it like look so damaged from the weather that it just looked... It looked like a barrel of hay on his head.
It does.
But, like, Mad Max Ratansky is a dude that will, like, look at himself and be like, oi, my hair's getting a little long, and just, like, pull it out of his fucking head.
Yeah.
Like, he would not allow this William Wallace-ing to happen.
Oh, maybe he's trying to distance himself from what Max was. I wish the movie would explore stuff like this more, because apparently there was a cutscene where he wakes up in the night, he had a dream about his family from the first movie, and I would love to tie into the first movie in any way.
That or more about his hair is what it seems
I could
like.
Use 45 minutes on the hair.
More hair, yeah. I mean, you wake up and you've been shaved into like a nice Titan cut right there. I would be furious. If I have a mane like that and then I'm just being cut into like a military cut, you know, I'd be furious.
In heat, hair is very bad.
That's, that's true.
Yeah, he gets rescued by a girl named Savannah and taken to... A thing that I like, not love, but like, and everybody else on this panel hates, which is the Lost Boy Island of Misfit whatever is kind of a situation.
The Captain
Walker. It's
just like,
if I want to watch fucking Hook, I'll do it.
Well, the thing is,
oh,
like,
there's a horse, apparently. Guys, there's a horse watching.
I think we're in exile right now. I used to like this segment. I used to be fine with it, but on my rewatch, I watched it twice this week. Both times, I just felt like, this is what started to drag the movie. We got an anchor around the movie now.
Well, it's a different movie. The movie changes entirely.
Yeah, well, because we didn't mention this, but this is a classic case of they had a movie that was adapted from a book that was basically like a post-apocalyptic Lord of the Flies situation. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, hey, you know, it would be kind of cool. Maybe we drop Mad Max into this script. Now it's a Mad Max. That's why it doesn't feel like literally every other Mad Max movie. Because it's not one.
Did they like just write the start of the movie, just fit Max in? And that's why the first 45 minutes is great, because we have a Mad Max movie. And the ending, I guess, is also a Mad Max movie in terms of the stunts and the chase.
Oh, big
but
time.
I feel like it's repetitive. It's nowhere near as good as either of the previous films.
I mean, this middle section is just like all about like the wonder of storytelling. And like they believed in some guy named Captain Walker who was going to do what Max did, but didn't. Who cares?
But shit about the storytelling is legit to the world because it's all about like, you know, the legend of Max and everything like that. But this other shit about like, they are like the descendants of people who survived a plane crash. Yeah, that's all from this book.
They would make all their own mythos, like anyone, you know? Like, you get I bet there's some weird guy in the woods right now that's like, oh, yeah, Captain.
Can't wait for my mythos to be told.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think the thing is, like, you know, Captain Walker was like this dude. It's like basically dad went out for cigarettes kind of a situation.
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
Everyone's like, hey, you guys chill out here. We're just. We'll be back in like 20 minutes. Yeah, totally. And then they just never came back.
Can you get us some juices?
Uh-huh, yeah, juices coming back. And video and all sorts of cool stuff.
Can I get a Rolo?
He left because he kept doing that creepy like,
weird.
That weird like chanting.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing.
Well, they're also doing stupid talk.
Yeah.
Like, from like,
children often do.
Like, it's also, I think it's a Cloud Atlas, is it? Where like, I'm going on the walkie-woo.
Yeah.
Or like, I got to go find foodie hog.
He did talking weird talking come out mouth kind of blah,
I think
blah, blah.
You know, I think they're exploring something interesting here. I don't know if it works, but it's like if children only survived a crash and just perpetuated the English language, it would be butchered.
Yes.
No, and that,
sure.
Like, in the other, like, the first two movies, they kind of do stuff like that. Like, there's slang words thrown in and, like, fake-sounding shit or whatever. But the one that I love is, he's got word stuff from his ass to his mouth! What I thought that was, like, that's their way of saying, like, well, that dude's talking shit.
Well,
right?
It sounds like an iTunes. Ass is? That's amazing.
It sounds like an iTunes review.
I don't know what the decision is to give him a haircut, though. I mean, aside from like everybody
while sleeping, by the way.
No, that's when you don't want your hair to get cut.
Also, I'm looking at you, third act of Logan, which is exactly this movie, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's true.
Getting a haircut in that motion picture?
No, just like basically like going to an island full of kids that, you know what I mean, are stuck on their own. Mm-hmm. You're kind of this reluctant hero.
Do they give him a haircut?
Well, I don't believe that they do. Maybe they do. I don't know.
No, Wolverine doesn't need haircuts. What are you talking about?
I don't know. I mean, if it's just like it.
Isn't it just like vampire hair? Like, he's just, it's the same
it just
length?
Always comes. I know. I think he'd get a buzz cut. It would come back.
Yeah, he has to clip it sometimes.
But it's got
to
grow really fast, though,
yeah,
right?
I think so, probably.
Oh. Mm.
Mm. Yeah.
We'll get back to that.
So, I mean, whenever you bring up Wolverine and his growing abilities, again, I'm fixated on foreskin.
Sure.
Why? Because if you cut something off a superhuman that regenerates everything, you'd think that if they tried to circumcise Wolverine, he would just grow back the foreskin.
All this research you've been doing for Bill Gates, it's got to stop. You've got to give it a rest.
The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has been funding my research into foreskin.
Specifically X-Men foreskin. Yeah. And honestly, this has gone too far.
That's why we got to tax people, because they're spending their money on foreskin.
You should have just gone to Stan the Man before he checked out, dude. See what the real deal was.
So, like, basically, you know, they explain, like, we've been waiting for Captain Walker. Now you're going to fly this great plane and take us off back to our cities. They call them skyscrapers.
Tomorrowland.
Tomorrowland.
Yeah, I know. Fuck you. Right there.
That's Never Never Land, and you're making me think about Peter Pan. Yeah. I came here for three things. People getting horribly murdered, car chases, and car accidents, because that's what these movies are.
I do appreciate this weird little frame they used for their storytelling, where it's like a stick, and then it's like, here's the outline of what a movie screen would be.
Yeah, totally. We made a little fake TV.
Yeah, fake TV to move across and pan across like cave paintings.
It's very adorable. And, but it's just from a different movie.
But what I like about it, at least, is Max is just like, oh, hey, cool. What you've got here is no warlords. Just check it out. Zero warlords.
Yep. Oh, clean running water, first
of all. Yes, a lot of water and just like beds you can sleep in. It seems like food's doing okay.
He is sizing up like a sweet David Koresh situation.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, dude. Oh, you think I'm Captain whatever the fuck? Yeah, sure I am.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Okay, how many of these children am I marrying?
Exactly. I believe Captain Walker was promised 12 wives.
Oh, no, the American ATF is outside for some reason. They're going to set fire to the compound.
Oh, yeah, you missed a bunch of stuff on these cave drawings here. There's a bunch of problems here. Yeah, he has 12 wives. He gets everything. He controls all the food, all the drink, all that.
It's the Branch Max Davidian.
I can write it for you. Hold on one second.
Because he's doing it more benevolently than that. It's like, what we're going to, because the kids are like, if you're not going to take us, then we're going to go. And he's like, no, what we're going to do is sit the fuck down, live a long life. And my favorite line in this movie is Mel Gibson looking at all these rat bastard little kids and like, and be grateful. the grateful line is like very fucking pointed.
Yes, but not to dwell on it now, Mel Gibson's actual religion is probably further crazy than Branch Davidian. Right?
Yeah, I would imagine, I don't know where it is at this point. It doesn't have a name.
It's like Australian Super Catholic, as I believe what it is.
Doomsday Catholic.
The Snake Boys.
And but like Savannah, who rescued him, is kind of leading a faction because they're like, no, there has to be Tomorrowland. Like, this movie should be called Mad Max Kids Are Dumb as Fucking Shit.
Yes. Don't listen to him.
He's like, listen, dudes, there is nothing out there. Everything is shit. I just came from a shit factory. There's pigs everywhere. Like, you will be eaten alive if you walk one step off this. Like,
we heard rumors they have Saturday nights, though. Is it true?
There are Saturday nights, but they're not as exciting as you think.
All right.
You will die. No, Tomorrowland. Death swallowed by the sand. Tomorrow.
But I want to watch the Thunderdome. Man, I would be a spectator at Thunderdome.
Dude, I would be a season pass holder at Thunderdome.
I guarantee you, if Max wrangled these kids properly, 4 years tops, there's another Thunderdome that Max is running. Because he's bored. Like, what the fuck's he going to do?
We got to thin this head.
All right. He looks like he stepped on Roger's foot. You got to go to Thunderdome, little buddy. You and Roger got to figure it out.
Is he like building? Is he building like a similar structure?
Absolutely.
You think?
Yeah.
Bungee and all.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Maybe it's a little smaller for children.
Thunderdome Junior, dude. There. Yeah. Now it's on Nickelodeon.
Thunderdome.
Excellent.
Junior.
There's some bouncy balls in it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like some things are like bubble gum, and some things are chainsaws. Yeah.
Two kids enter. One kid leaves.
Yeah. Kid power.
It is a total
Nickelodeon death fights.
It's a total kid power move. And absolutely, I think we should definitely have children fight to the death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the janitor is there. Like, I didn't think I'd be cleaning up this many kids' eyeballs. I'll be honest with you, I didn't think there'd be this many. They pop right out.
When can I retire from Thunderdome Junior?
Gonna sleep again.
That's a great point, Chris. Because I think the skull is softer. So you hit that really hard.
It's a mess.
Flies right out.
It's a complete mess. Yeah. It's Hamburger City.
It's just a walking hamburger.
It is. That's
see,
true.
But the cool thing, though, with like where they live in this little like desert oasis or whatever is like there's a water source there. So you could have like the water level of like Thunderdome
Junior.
You know what I mean?
Hydrodome?
Because really what we're talking about here is like American Gladiator events.
Sure, absolutely.
That's very true.
So they got into water sports on that show.
Pardon me?
in the apocalypse. No. We're not going to use water for drinking.
to spray down the fighters while they're trying to fight each other. It's for spectacle.
You can try to get some like drink as it falls off their like body and whatnot.
Also, the problem with Max as this leader, if he stayed, these kids are like 39 seconds away from puberty, and it's going to get gross real quick.
Oh, yeah. Oh, then it's a dog tooth situation, and then you're fucked.
Exactly. You're everybody's totally fucked. Fucking everybody. Finger stuff as far as the eye can see.
That's why he wants to stick around.
Yeah, I think that's actually true.
Well, yeah, the younger ones are talking about Tomorrowland, but there's a couple of like older boys who are like the prostitutes. That's what I can't wait for. That's what I'm looking for. I hear they have them.
Well, they got nothing to barter with.
For services rendered,
I guess they'll figure it out. Huh?
Savannah, Bugs Bunny Kid, and a bunch of other kids you could possibly stand.
Bugs Bunny has two lines in the film.
I think his name is Screwy, possibly.
Screwloose.
That sounds right. Yeah.
There's a doll of Bugs Bunny that this kid is playing with, and you know he pulls the cord, and it says a line. I forget.
It's What's Up, Doc, I think.
What's Up, Doc, and then another one's take me with you.
Yeah, that's right.
Take me with you.
Which is a weird thing for a Bugs Bunny doll to say. I feel like that's made up for this motion picture.
Probably.
Take me where? What the fuck are you talking about, Bugs Bunny?
You know, you're marketing to children. You're like, take me with you. Hold me forever in your mind. Buy more, you know?
yeah, I guess that's true. Don't leave home without it.
Yeah.
Screwy is not the one who gets drowned by sand, correct?
No.
It's just a random other
kid. Well, it's a weird thing. Did you check out this cast list on IMDb? You look at all these kids?
No,
it's
I
like,
did not
it's
check
like
out
the names
kids.
And whatnot, and then it just says, like, himself, herself.
Oh, that's
really?
Weird.
They're just playing rat children.
Oh, really?
No, I'm joking.
No, but
they're all total Australian nobodies.
Of course.
Because watching this movie, I've never been to Australia. I just assume this is how it is. And I'm like... They're just. This is like a docu part of this.
The woman, I should say, the woman who plays Savannah was like an accomplished dancer and like theater actress in Australia.
Yeah, she's otherwise, the one that has the most lines.
Otherwise, it is a fucking cart full of nobodies.
No, don't worry about it. We cast people only from the Wasteland to play the Wasteland kids. That's all we did. We made sure to do it.
Yeah, this is a Vice documentary.
We embedded with the Wasteland kids of Beyond Thunderdome.
But Max is furious because no one's taking him seriously. He grabs this kid's gun that he doesn't even know he has. Loads it and starts like shooting at these kids. Mm-hmm. Pretty much like I'm pretty sure I'm not going to hit any, but if I do,
who cares?
You know, there's no Thunderdome, dude. You know, there's no consequences.
It's true.
You accidentally knock off one of these kids, whatever.
He's got this great line of it's something like I'm not Captain Walker. I'm the guy who keeps Mr. Dead in his pocket.
Yeah, dude,
pretty badass.
I don't fuck around. And basically, we're all going to stay here, be grateful. He goes to sleep and whoops these kids. Half of the kids fuck off, and Max isn't having it, so he reluctantly goes to save them. I think at first he doesn't want to do it, though, because he's just like, I don't know, man.
I think it's a thing where like a bunch of these other kids are like, yeah, we'll go do it.
Oh, and he's like,
so
yeah.
He's like, nah, then you'll all be fucking dead. And like, so he goes out to try to save them or whatever.
Give me all the water, you know? So they dump all these supplies, right, so that he can walk out there. Some join him. And this sets forth.
He's got two guys with them. Yeah, yeah.
Our adventure.
Yeah, the adventure, and we run into this intrepid group of idiot kids, literally in a sandstorm, about to die in a quicksand accident.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens when you fuck around, dude. I'm sorry.
That's. I mean, like they don't even seem to have a leader. Like they have the lady who's the main.
I think that's the closest you get to the leader.
It's her, and then there's the other like teenage kid, like the boy, and he's the one who's like. Fuck that. Like, I'm not going anywhere.
Oh, someone's got to stay here and make sure everything's okay. So.
Someone's got to make sure stay here and make sure the waterfall doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, we were installing a water slide tomorrow. I've got to oversee that. You guys...
I am the CFO of fun around here.
The grass could really go to pot really easily if I leave any moment now.
But yeah, you enjoy that death trip, though.
Do it.
How would you even know? I mean, like, there's a lot of different directions to find Bartertown. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you just wouldn't find Bartertown. You just die.
Well, that's with all of these movies. It's like you're just going to go, like, one way or the other. And maybe you'll hit shit. Maybe you won't. Like, what I like about these movies is, like, 1 through 4, and so you get to, like, Fury Road in 2015, they do, like, accelerate, like, the total decay of society. So it's like... Eventually, there's just no, like, when you get to this movie, there's no more roads.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, in like, in Fury Road, like, there's no, like, roads in this way. It's just dirt that you're driving on. So, like, society keeps crumbling further and further.
And this movie's trying to be a little hopeful with, like, we're rebuilding society, I guess. Bartertown is something, at least. And these children are like, they're the future, folks, whether you like it or not. I can't stand it.
No, I can't deal with it. And I'm very happy when this child gets killed.
He really gets sucked into the sand, man.
I mean,
a couple people here just hated your guts.
I'm sorry, it just happens.
Look, I need something a little bit more like, but it's true. I need something a little bit more grisly. Like,
what do you want?
Grisly, dude, drowning in quicksand? My God, come on.
All that happens is that they're on a jacket. They're all like connected with the jacket and they're being pulled up.
Yeah, yeah.
And like you just pull it up and it's just an empty jacket. Can there's not blood on the jacket.
Why would there be blood? It's quicksand. What are you talking about?
Maybe he got crushed by
quicksand?
Yes, maybe.
Would it pop like a grape?
Maybe.
What would make Chris happy, ladies and gentlemen, is if they pulled up the jacket
yes.
and a tiny little skeleton was
holding
it.
Yeah, totally. Oh, it was
like acid quicksand.
That would be cool. That would be, or like just like sort of waterboard one of these kids with sand. Just keep pouring it in his mouth.
Jesus H.
Just so you can see him like really choking on it
as
he goes down.
Yeah, get a camera
like,
down there with him.
That would be great, like a cross section.
Who's directed this movie? John Landis? Christ.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah.
That'd be a good one.
Oh, man. I think he was helping scout locations. We started this conversation with a helicopter crash.
That is indeed what we did.
So this kid's dead, and Max winds up saving the teenage girl. What's her name?
Savannah.
Savannah, yeah. And he's like, see, I fucking told you, you stupid little kids. You know, he kind of like gives it to him a little bit there. You know, not as much as he probably should. Get back to...
Now which one am I marrying?
And I guess the idea is they don't have enough water to get back, so the only way out is to get through Border Town. And this is when there's a long extended sequence when like everybody's we run back with Master and we say like basically Mel Gibson's like, you know what, that guy is very smart and he can make my little Koresh compound really sing.
Yeah.
This guy's gonna do the books, you think?
Exactly.
Some good work ethic. I mean, he can get a schedule going. Like that's what seems like he's good for.
Also, like these young kids, you can raise them for anything. You know, you get one to push a boulder around for a while. Get strong, become like a blaster.
Someone to kick dirt around. You're going to need somebody like that.
Oh, we need a dirt kicker, definitely.
Absolutely.
A lot of dirt to kick.
Yes.
And, I mean, like, this is when the movie becomes toothless because he runs into the gang and he keeps fighting them, but nobody dies. It's a lot of, like, you know.
And I don't know if this was, like, notes from Warner Brothers or what the deal was here, but it's, like, another thing I love about the first two movies and Fury Road. Insane deaths of bad guys left and right. And this is like this ongoing gag of like Iron Bar, who's kind of like the main dude, or Iron Arm, or whatever his name is. Iron Bar, I think it is.
I think it's Iron Bar.
You know, he's constantly like in all of these wrecks that in any other Mad Max movie would totally fucking ice that character. But this, he's like getting up like, damn you, Mad Max.
He gets like hit by a train and he's covered in soot. And it's like, is that why they had Bugs Bunny?
Yes, I think 100% that's what it is.
That's the Wacky Racers portion of the film, which is kind of the next movement. Is that they steal Master, and he's very happy to be stolen. And they steal this train with Pig, I almost called him Pig Fucker, Pig Killer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought you were going to say Pig Vomit.
fucking Pig Vomit, this goddamn wasteland, Paul Giamatti.
Would it be a bigger crime to kill a pig or fuck a pig in this
world? Oh, kill it for 100%. Kill. Yeah.
So you think maybe there are pig fuckers?
Sure,
there's definitely pig fuckers in this universe. It's two things that they don't address in this movie, cannibalism and definitely bestiality.
Yeah, for sure. That's a really good point.
You see the desperation in that town?
The Australian outback, ladies and gentlemen.
Come on. Zoo expert Chris Cabin, do you think the brothels in Bartertown are just livestock?
Not all livestock.
But that's a specialty.
They have
it's
a specialty.
Like, no, you want the brothel around the corner.
Sometimes you know how the deli will also have the butcher next to it? Yeah. I think it's that situation right there.
Okay. So you could like fuck a koala?
Oh, come on, no.
Why wouldn't you?
Wish.
Why wouldn't you? Is that what you just asked?
If they survived, I don't know.
I'm just saying.
They seem to be mostly dead, right?
If you're crossing that bridge anyway.
Dude, I would say a koala would have a lot to say about that situation. Yeah, you wouldn't want to know about it.
That is another note that you should
keep
in mind.
Wait, what? It's a koala.
No way!
It's a bear, my friend. It's a small bear, but it is a bear.
Well, you know, you declaw it, you shave it, you oil it up.
You're doing so much.
We
for
are
this.
Moving on as a podcast.
We're definitely not doing it at Thunderdome.
I'm just giving the people what they want to hear.
There's this big train thing that they get into, and Master, I don't know where he gets this awesome outfit. It's like you go to Disney and you're doing that Old West thing, and like they give you those like shitty old costumes to wear.
Yeah, because like you're going to get like your picture taken in a booth or something, so you want to look like period appropriate. This dude, out of nowhere, like he's riding an old-timey train, and he's got this three-piece suit.
It's crazy.
He's straight out of Stagecoach. Like, I don't understand
He gets glasses, too, and I mean, like, you know, Master doesn't exactly... it's not a one-size-fits-all situation. Like, who made this awesome outfit?
I'm not master, no. I'm legitimate businessman Greg.
I'm a mister. That's right. My name is Mister.
All crimes master did happen in Thunderdome. Mister live on train. Mister not get prosecuted.
You know, it's interesting. Both this movie and the third Back to the Future were fucking around with trains after we've been fucking around with cars for two movies.
And,
that's a good
point. And both are detrimental, I think, to the narrative.
Totally.
The influence of Runaway Train, I suppose.
Yeah. Oh, great. The fucking John...
John Voight, John Eric Voight Roberts. Movie? Great movie.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic right. movie.
And I mean, like, it's whatever. I mean, that's the problem. Is like, it's very underwhelming the last couple of minutes here.
But
the-
this is where, like, this is where I have to stand up for this movie. Because at minute 81, it actually becomes a Mad Max movie because there's a fucking car chase.
Yeah, it's true.
And 86 minutes into this movie is the first time he gets behind the wheel of an automobile.
Yeah.
Which is, if I'm in 1985 paying tickets for a Mad Max movie, guess what? That's the first thing I want to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
86 minutes, this movie.
I mean, I still have to commend it a little on trying to build something more than that.
Yeah.
But once we get to it, I do feel it's lackluster. So we get to the, we get back to the underworld. I guess we do get Mister now.
Yeah.
And Pig Killer officially joins the squad.
Yeah, so we got a little gang going.
By helping them escape.
And they escape, essentially, and Pig Killer gets hurt in the leg, and they run back with the gyro captain, or the Jebediah.
Fake gyro captain, dude.
To escape, and Max does the really cool thing where he sacrifices himself. Though, I don't know, I don't think Pig Killer's going to last for another 5 minutes.
Oh, really? You think that was a fatal leg wound for Pig Killer?
You see, like, the... I don't even know what you call it. I guess it's an arrowhead or whatever that's sticking out the other side of his leg. It's humongous.
He's not making it.
That leg is gone. You got to cut that
if
whole leg off.
If someone's sacrificing themselves, it should be Pig Killer.
I agree, absolutely.
But no, Max sacrifices himself and everybody else gets away. And there's this, I like the ending, the cool, like, the telling of the tale of Max kind of a thing.
Yeah, so, like, basically, like, Savannah takes all of the kids and they make their way to what is, like, burned out Sydney, Australia.
Yeah.
And they, it's sort of like what was happening with Bartertown, is they're rebuilding civilization by, like, going back and, like, living in the skyscrapers. It's actually a really great matte shot where, like, you see the skyscrapers and there's, like, lights here and there and the burned out windows and everything. Really not bad. Continuing the idea of, like, storytelling, keeping the myth going so we don't forget where we came from, you know, because now society's dead and we have no internet or movies or whatever. And that's like where it ends for many, many years. What, 20 years? 30 years until fucking Fury Road comes out and really shows this movie where to go.
Absolutely.
Here's relief.
I do want to mention, eventually, Iron Bar finally does die, right? He gets hit by the train a second time and finally
explodes,
dies.
Yeah.
But does he, though? Isn't he? He's given the finger.
Yeah, but he's dead. I think
it's
that's
just
the last
pure wreckage.
Yeah.
They don't show him grinning like they usually do.
Don't you remember where they put him in the dip? And then he turns into liquid.
All right, real quick, we got to start wrapping it up here. So big thanks to Frequency for having us. This was so much fun. Thank you, Chris, and the whole team. This was really, really great. Really quick, we'll go down the line. Eric, we'll start with you. Would you recommend this movie and or final thoughts on Thunderdome?
It would be a light recommend. Like I said before, Thunderdome is just a brilliant concept, especially for this world. And I wish they explored other things than children. I know this guy likes that, but... it's a light recommend for me because you know, it's still a Mad Max movie, so how can I not?
It's a hard recommend. There's not a lot of Mel Gibson, which is what I like. There is some exciting stuff here. The Thunderdome stuff is cool. I think the kid stuff is a cool message. Overall, really high recommend for me. Oh, come on.
Wait. I heard some pig shit. Was that from the film?
That was from the film. I got a
clip.
That
an impression from the film?
I got a specific clip that I put in my mouth and I just played it right there. No, I hated this movie.
Yeah, no, fuck it. Watch Fury Road. We are We Hate Movies from right here in New York City. Thanks so much for tuning in. Stick around. Pom Pom Squad is up next, everybody. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
That was a HeadGum Podcast. League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there. League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.